topic today. Can you go into a non-kosher restaurant for a permissible activity? Okay, I'm not going to discuss going into a non-kosher restaurant to eat non-kosher. Okay, that's not our topic. But let's say there's a generally permissible activity that you can do, and it's in a non-kosher restaurant. This happens a lot when people are on the road, and they're traveling somewhere, and there's a pit stop, and so what do they have there? They have a McDonald's. So can you pull off to the side there and go in to use the bathroom? And you're driving, can I buy a Coca-Cola? Okay, that's a question that comes up a lot. And obviously when you're going to join the corporate world, those of you who will join the corporate world will have the question of, what about when I have a business meeting and I go into a non-kosher restaurant? And obviously the questions of, can I get a, you know, fruit or whatever, or they'll order a special kosher meal for me. So those questions come up too. We're not going to focus on those details about, you know, getting cut up fruit or something. That's a topic for another time. We're going to focus on the general question of you being in this non-kosher restaurant with your kippah, people and seeing it from Jews there. Is that a problem? Ready, question?
Yeah, just a question. When you talk about non-kosher restaurants, say, for business meetings, does that like include like a coffee shop? Like if you're going for like coffee for a business meeting?
That would include that. That would include that. We'll discuss that. It'll be included in our discussion. Okay. And a little bit to make it interesting for the crowd that's here. Some of you may come from a place called Johannesburg. Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay. And about half the room. So, why do I bring that up? Because one of the tshuvas we're going to deal with is the tshuva of Minhas Asher, of Asher Weiss. And he says he got asked this question in Johannesburg. And he wrote the tshuva in response to the question he was asked in Johannesburg. So we're going to read his question. Then we're going to do the sugya, so we'll understand what he says when he gives his answer. That's the structure of today's shir. But here is the question at the top of the page. Biyoti Johannesburg. I was in Johannesburg. Nishalti basefat rabbanei ha'ir. They had a rabbi of the town came to meet, all the rabbis of the town came to meet Rav Asher Weiss. So people work in these large companies. The large companies have cafeterias. And the cafeteria naturally is not kosher. Those workers who are careful with kashrut, can they go in? You know, kosher restaurants, we don't allow outside food in, but non-kosher ones, unless they're very fancy, don't have that limit. So yeah, of course you can bring in your kosher food into this trip cafeteria. Is that a problem? People are going to think you're going to be eating on kosher. Fruit, vegetables, water. Things that aren't problematic. Or is it a problem? Maradayin. Or the general question of just business meetings, forgetting the company cafeteria. But the company you're meeting and you have a merger and you want a big meeting, the lawyers and all the partners involved, and they're going to ask, what are they going to do? They're going to go to a fancy trade restaurant. So they invite you. Can you go and participate? So for that, we have to discuss, what is the problem of doing something that looks bad? What is the source of the issue? What might be the issue? So we'll begin with source number one. We have a Gemara in Krita that says the following. Amar Rav, dam dakim, fish blood. Is fish blood kosher?
No.
No blood is kosher. Well, fish blood isn't usher. As in, if you eat a fish that's blood, you don't have to salt fish, right? We kosher meat, when you shecht it, before you can eat it, you have to salt it in order to get out the blood. Okay? If you see blood and meat later, so halachically that's not blood, it's, you know, meat juice or whatever you want to call it. But we can't eat that blood. Fish, you can take a fish right out of the water, once it's dead, eat it right away. We don't have to salt it, we don't have to cook it, it could be sushi. There's no such isser. Fish blood isn't usser. But says the following, Amarav, dam dagim shekinsu. Let's say you now have a cup or bucket, an accumulation on this fish blood, usser, you can't eat it because it's been collected? What's the problem? So let's look at source 2, Rashi. Demichlaf bedam behema v'haroe omer mutter lecholdam. Because when you gather it, people will say, hey, look, a bucket of blood. What kind of blood is that? Can you, with the, you know, without any basic expertise, I mean, if a layman sees a bucket of blood, does this blood look any different than any other blood? No. So he's going to see you partaking of this fish blood, and he's not going to know it's fish blood. He's going to think it's meat blood. He's going to think, ah, maybe it's mutter to eat blood.
Is meat blood definitely usser?
Meat blood is definitely usser.
So it's just fish blood that's normally okay.
Yeah. But here, even though what you're doing is totally okay, because a person who sees it is going to be misled into thinking something that's forbidden is permissible, you can't do it. It is forbidden. Okay? So issue number one is Haroa Omer Mutter. Someone who sees it is going to think what you are doing is okay. But it's not what you're doing. What he thinks you're doing is okay. Okay? That's issue number one. People are going to assume that the activity that people do when you're doing what you're doing is okay. In other words, you're in the non-kosher restaurant. Generally, 99.9% of people in a non-kosher restaurant, what are they doing?
Eating non-kosher
food. You are in a non-kosher restaurant, and they're going to see, ah, Reuven, he's pretty from. He's got peis and kippah. I guess it's okay to eat in that restaurant. Okay? So that would be issue number one. Issue number two. We go to source 3. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol makom she'asru chachamim mipnei marit ha'ayin afilu v'chadre chadarim aser. Whatever item, iser, something that the Chazal said not to do because lest somebody see you, you can't do that even in private. Okay? When Chazal said, don't do X lest somebody see you, that doesn't mean you can do it when they can't see you. That means it's usher to do. Even if you're in the innermost locked, secure room in the Pentagon or wherever, and you're all alone and no one will see you, it is still not allowed. And what is the context of where this statement is here? The Gemara in Shabbos, and this is going to come up again, and that's why I bring it up. The Gemara says, "Tnan below bezug afal bishem bakuk." What are we talking about? You are not allowed to take out an animal on Shabbos while it's wearing its bell. Even if you stop up the bell so it doesn't make a noise. So Bessie the cow has this bell. You can't take the animal out wearing the bell, even if the bell is stopped up so it doesn't make noise. And once again, Rashi, source 4, tells us why. Shelo yachshiduhu. So they don't think chinga is to do work. It's the fair. It's the market. Okay? Shelo yachshidu be'isser. What does that mean? They're going to think you're doing something wrong. Okay? What was issue number one? They're going to think that what it looks like you're doing is allowed. Number two, they know what you're doing is not allowed, and therefore they're going to think badly about you. We don't want them to be thinking, Reuven, you think he's a tzaddik? I know he's a rasha, because listen to what I saw him do. Forget speaking Lashon Hara, but meaning even if the thought goes through their mind, they're going to think you did something wrong. But those those are the reasons that you can't do something that looks bad. Is there any room for leniency? Obviously, there's going to be some. So what is the reason that we might be lenient in certain cases to allow you to do something that potentially looks bad? So, number one, source five, the Pri Chadash says, V'havu de lolo sifala, she'ein lanu l'gzor v'lasor mi datinu mipnei marit ha'ayin, sulati v'mashin et bar v'tamud. When we say don't do certain things because of maris ayin, because of how it looks, marit, the look, ayin, with your eye. So don't do things that look bad. Chazal gave us a list. It's mentioned a few times in the Gemara. Those are the things you're not allowed to do. It's not a general rule, don't do things that look bad. That's what the Pri Chadash says. Okay? 99% of poskim don't accept this. But it's important to mention it as what we'll call, and it's something we've seen already this year, and we'll see it over and over again, what we call a snif lahakel, an extra reason to be lenient. Meaning we throw in this idea, even though this isn't enough to be lenient, because we don't poskim like him, but when we combine what he says with other ideas, we can be lenient. So, we have the Pri Chadash, Ein Isur Stam Shel Maritayim, Rak Ma Shekavu Chachamim. There are certain things that the Chachamim said you can do because of Maritayim. Those are the things that you can't do because of Maritayim. There is no issue of doing anything else that's not on that list. Yes? So remind me your name?
Doron,
yeah.
Is the right side of the board when you can't...
These are the issues with Maritayim.
Okay.
And here we're coming up with... the colors are just because I have different colors. And the colors are reasons we might be lenient despite these issues. So reason number one you might be lenient is the Pri Chadash says... We can be lenient because we only have to be stringent where Chazal told us to be. Chazal never made a gzera, don't go into a treif restaurant unless somebody's going to think you're eating treif, etc. Chazal gave us certain examples. Don't take Bessie the cow out with a bell. Okay, that's it. So you can't do that because of Mar Zayin. You can't even do it in secret. If you're in the middle of nowhere where there are no Jews around, you can't do it. But that's what they said. They didn't say your example. We don't come up with new examples. That's what the Pri Chadash said. Okay, again, I'm telling you that's not the majority. Pesach, most poskim disagree with this. And they're also anything that will lead people to think that you're doing something wrong, etc. But like I said, it's what we call a snif lahakel. An extra, when we're eventually going to be lenient, we'll throw this in. And you're going to see Rav Asher Weiss in the ending of this year makes use of the Pri Chadash as well. Number two, we have the Ramah. We're in source six. The Ramah is discussing something called almond milk. Almond milk, soy milk, you've heard of it? There's parv milk in the world. So, parv milk. Can I have that parv milk with a fleishig meal? Good. Where'd you all learn this?
From me?
Okay. So let's see it inside Sword 6. Says the Ramah, Nagu lasok halav mishkeidim, u'manichim ba basar of. We can use almond milk and cook it with chicken. Ho'il v'eino rak midrabana, since it is only midrabana. Aval basar behema, cow, beef, yesh laniach etzal achalav shkedim mishum marta'ayim. When you do it with beef, you can only use parv milk with beef when it's clear to everybody, when the container's on the table, when you know, if it's almond milk, you make sure to include almonds next to the milk. Everybody can know that you're using parv milk. So what does the Ramah say? When something's Isser Midrabanan, what's the Isser Midrabanan here he's referring to?
Chicken and milk.
Chicken and milk. Since the Isser is only Midrabanan, as in the rabbis made that zero, so, and Maris Ayin is the second zero. We have a rule, in goes in zero to zero. There's no, we don't make a zero to defend another zero. So we have a rule, don't eat chicken and dairy. We don't have a rule, don't eat something that looks like you're eating chicken and dairy. But, did Chazal make the rule, don't eat meat and milk? No, who made that rule? The Torah, Hashem. So therefore, Chazal can be gozer, don't eat something that looks like meat and dairy. So what is Heter, or area for leniency number two? The Rambam. Ein baya shamar dayin beisur the Rabbana. Okay? Yes?
Just to double check this, is there any difference between chicken and meat? Because chicken was changed later on, but some people don't consider chicken meat.
I mean, we in Alafa consider chicken and meat, chicken and milk to be awesome. It's awesome. There's no doubt about it.
There's no leniency
about that.
There's no difference practicality
between practically. But the difference comes when the next step, like, regarding Maris Ayin about it, says the Rambam. Because it's only Derabbanan, you still can't eat it, but you can eat something that looks like it. You're not going to violate Maris Ayin eating something that looks like chicken and milk. Yes, Daron.
Didn't, like, the whole thing of chicken and milk, like, because it was stated that it was part of it first, but because of Maris Ayin, it's the Rabbanan said.
No. Some rabbis are darish that if there was a machlokes, whether it was, maybe even d'oraita, okay? According to some, it's the Rabbanan. According to some, it's not a problem at all. Rabbi Yossi Aglili thought mutter. And then he said in the town of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that was the psak. Okay, none of us live there. Our psak is that you can't have chicken and dairy, though it sounds nice right now, right? Okay. Okay. The worst thing they're going to think about you doing that you're doing is they're going to think, right, the issue is that somebody's going to see this and say, you're doing something usher. So the worst thing they're going to think about you is that you're doing an Isser Derabbanan. Maybe that's one way to look at it, but, or the other way is that it doesn't, this type of zera, Marisai, doesn't apply to that. Yes? Remind me your name?
Saul.
Saul, yeah.
If that person then went on to go commit, and that's what say, like, a Shon Hara or whatever on you, do you then hold some sort of responsibility for that?
Good. As in, you're Lifnei Iver, you're being Mashal then. You know who says that? The Sefer HaChasidim says that. Sefer HaChasidim says the issue with all this is that you are going to do something that's going to be like a stumbling block for them to be choshed you, choshed b'ksherim of you. He has a proof, the Sefer HaChasidim, from, I thought I wrote it down, but I don't see it here right now, but there was something with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did something, and everybody was choshed him, and they ended up speaking Lashon Hara about him, and Miriam got Tzaras, etc. So, that's what it was. Moshe Rabbeinu, about himself. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Am Yisrael is not going to believe me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, go to the Jews and tell them I'm going to free them. And he says, Am Yisrael is not going to believe me. Hein lo yaminu bi. So you know what happened to next Moshe? Moshe is looking for simanim. So Hashem has him stick his hand in and pull his hand down. And what happens to his hand? Tzarat. Why did Moshe get Tzarat? About Amisol. So, from the idea of being choshed b'ksherim, he was choshed on people who were going to believe him. And he was choshed that they wouldn't. He had suspicions. So because of that, he got tzarat. So says the Sefer HaChasidim, therefore, we don't want to cause people to be choshed b'ksherim. You're doing nothing wrong. It just looks like you're doing something wrong. But because you're going to lead people to assume you're doing something wrong, you're at fault. So there is something to that, but we're going to focus on these two. Okay. Who disagrees with this Rama? Right there, there's a shaft, source 7. Afilu b'midi d'rabbanan chayshin on the maradayin. Even when it comes to isuri d'rabbanan, we have maradayin. And what's his proof? His proof goes back to source 3. The Gemara said that anything the Chachamim said you can't do because of maradayin, you can't even do b'chadr chadarim. And what was the example we gave? The cow's bell, right? V'lo b'zot afal b'shepakot, even if it stopped up. So says the Shach, what's the issue? What is the problem of people seeing you taking out the cow? And Rashi says that we're choshesh the mexi kasa lechinda. It looks like you're going to the fair. What's the problem going to the fair? Going to the market? You're doing business on Shabbos. What kind of iser is it to do business on Shabbos? It's an iser derabbanan. What is the Rabbanan? Chazal said, you cannot do a business transaction on Shabbos lest you write. You're going to write a receipt. You're going to write a contract. So therefore, business transactions are usher on Shabbos, mid Rabbanan. So Rashi is saying, you can't take your cow out on Shabbos with the bell because people are going to think you're going to do business. That's an Isser Rabbanan. And yet it's usher. So says the Shach to the Rama, what do you mean when it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's not a problem, Marzai? We have a case that is Marzai for an Isser D'Rabbanan, and it's Usser. And he has a few more proofs. Again, I give you a little snip so you get a taste of it. But okay, maybe again, this is possibly a way for us to be lenient in our case. Let's go to a third leniency. Source 8, there's a Mishnah Masechet Kilayim. Kilayim, for those who don't know, is that we don't mix wool and linen clothing. Okay, we don't, meaning the material used to make your shirt can be both wool and linen, it can be one or the other. So the Mishnah says, Hashirayim b'kalach, Ein behem mishum kalayim. It's mentioning like shirayim is like a silk garment of a certain kind. It is not a problem of kilayim. It is not a mixture of wool and linen. But aval asurim ipnei maradayin. It looks like what you would get if you did mix wool and linen. Somebody who sees you wearing that kind of shirt is a problem for you to wear that shirt, even though that shirt is totally fine. It is not made of wool and linen. You cannot wear that shirt because people are going to think you're wearing a shirt made of wool and linen. It looks like that kind of material. Says the Rush in his Perush on this Mishnah, source 9, the dummy letzemer pishtim, it looks like wool or linen. Umine shirayim lo ayu mitzvot banen. These kinds of garments, these silk garments, they didn't have them. So they weren't familiar with them. Therefore, you have to be careful about what it looks like. But nowadays, not in the time of the Mishnah, we all know what these silk garments look like. Everybody knows, and nobody's going to go, hey, look at that guy wearing a silk garment. They're going to think, oh, that's wool and linen. No, they're not. Everybody knows what a silk garment is. Hilkach ein lesser. So we have a third header. This comes from Rush. Who says, "Bedavar matzoi, if it's common, ein lesser." Everybody understands all three of Tera? One, it's because we don't come up with new examples of Marzayin. Two, there's no Marzayin when it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. And three, there is no Marzayin when something is very common. This, number 3, does come up all the time. example of the non-dairy creamer. So can we have non-dairy creamer on our table? Can I serve part milk at the end of my fleshed meal? And many tshuvas, including Rav Avadya and Yechavadat, many other poskim in many other locations say, everybody knows about non-dairy creamer, the cat's out of the bag, the secret's out. Everybody knows, non-dairy creamer, you're not going to fool anybody into thinking, oh, they're having milk and meat. Stuff your dua, and therefore you can have non-dairy creamer, serve non-dairy creamer at fleshed meals. That is fine. Comes up on Pesach, when you have all sorts of foods that look like chametz, and they're not. Cats out of the bag on potato starch, cats out of the bag on matzah meal. Okay, we have foods. Okay, we have a gzeir on kidneys. We're not getting into the kidneys discussion in a second. But we have certain times that we have certain things that could look problematic, and they're not because everybody knows about it. It's very public. So, which of these heterim would you be able to apply to a non-kosher restaurant? Let us start with number one. Pri Chadash says we don't come up with new examples. Is this a new example? Yes. Except, we don't want this to be the reason why we're going to allow it, because I said, this isn't the view of most poskim, this is the view of the Pri Chadash. But really, that would be allowed. In other words, you're going into a non-kosher restaurant. It was never mentioned by Chazal as one of the examples. What was mentioned? Well, we actually just came across two. One, wearing silk garments that look like wool and linen garments. Number two, going out with a cow with a bell on Shabbos. So those are the ones you can't do. Not anything new. This is new. So that would be okay, except really you're relying on a minority view in postgame. Next question. The Rama. The Rama says there's no problem to do something that looks bad as long as it only looks like an Isser Derabanan. Is what's going on in a treif restaurant Isser Doraita or Isser Derabanan? Doraita. How many Doraitas can we come up with? Mokimi, Nevelos, Trefos, Shellfish, Shrutzim.
A lot.
So even if we were to, let's say we paskin like the Ramah, we said the Shach disagrees, right? Let's say, okay, we're going to paskin like the Ramah, not the Shach. The Ramah doesn't help us here. It might help you in like certain extreme cases. I'm sure we can all come up with restaurants, you know, and that's where we get into a little bit more problematic that we're going to discuss in a minute. A vegan restaurant, okay? So maybe we can solve some of that, and now we're only dealing with Isuri Derabah. Then maybe we can rely on the Ramah. But, on the Mar Zion aspect, I'm not talking about eating there yet, okay? But just going into the restaurant. Then maybe you would say the Ramah would apply. But the typical treif restaurant, where there's pork or cheeseburgers, okay? We're talking Isuri Doraita. So the Ramah is not our solution. So where can our solution come from? And that would only be from Heter number three, from the Rush.
Why can't it come from the first one? Because not many
people. It can. It would, except we don't want that to be our solution since it's a Das Yachid. So I said we can only use it as a Stiv L'Hakka. Since he's the only one who says that and everybody else disagrees, that's not good enough for me to allow you to go do that. Yes, Jeff?
I don't understand how the Ramah addresses the issues. Let's say there's still a problem. The two issues on the right.
They're going to see what you're doing and they're going to say it's allowed, or they're going to see what you're doing and they're saying, and they're going to think that you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So either way, it's only an Isser Derabanan. It's not that he's saying it's okay that they think you're doing an Isser Derabanan, but since the idea of Mar Zion is like a zero, as in don't do something that leads them to think you're doing something wrong, or that it's mutter, that zero can't apply to an Isser Derabanan. It's already an Isser Derabanan.
But that only applies, like it applies on the side of the person who's performing the action. The person who's performing the action is mutar anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem to solve anything.
No. A person seeing what you're doing is going to assume you're doing what most people in that situation are doing. And he's going to say that activity is mutter. In other words, if I see you in a treif restaurant, what am I going to assume you're doing? Eating the food there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume it's okay to eat the food in that restaurant because of you.
Yeah. Then how's that transformed into Rabbanan?
So that's not the Rabbanan, that's a Siddharaita. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't apply to the Ramah.
The Ramah doesn't Ramah solve either of them?
The Ramah solves that when you're only Yisuri Darabanan involved. Whatever activity we're talking about is allowed when it's only a Siddharabanan. The Ramah's example was soy milk and chicken. Because all they're going to assume is, I mean, they're going to, you're eating chicken and soy milk. Yeah. The person who sees you eating chicken and milk. They don't know it's soy milk. Okay? What kind of isser are they going to be choshed you of doing? Or what kind of isser are they going to assume is mutter? An isser drabbanan. This xera can't apply to an isser drabbanan, according to the Ramah.
People are going to be like, oh no, he's just doing a Rabbanan commandment, he's fine. People are going to be like, oh, he's a sinner, he's doing something the Rabbanan said no.
You're assuming it's always a problem that what people think about what you're doing.
Isn't that the whole issue of Mar'ayim?
That's the issue of Mar'ayim. The Ramah is saying that issue of Mar'ayim isn't an issue for an issue of the Rabbanan. There's an issue, Chazal or Gozer don't do certain things because of Mar'ayim, because of how it looks. Chazal or Gozer that on Yisuri Doraita, not on Yisuri Darabanan. Logically, it would apply to Yisuri Darabanan too. The idea of you don't want somebody to think you're doing something wrong, you don't want them to think you're doing it as a Darabanan either.
So if I call someone like eating chicken and milk and normal milk, because I eat chicken and like soy milk, and that's alright.
It's not alright, but it doesn't fall under the Yisuri of Maranai.
Alright.
Okay.
Well, can you just explain to me how number two works?
As in, people who see you doing this activity are going, no, it's usher, but they're going to think that you're doing something wrong.
I thought that said, why don't you go hand in hand? Because the first one's going to...
No, these are two reasons for Mar'ayim. First reason for Mar'ayim is that the person is going to assume you're doing a different activity than you're really doing, and he's going to assume, therefore, that that activity is allowed.
Okay.
The second one says, he knows that activity is not allowed, and he's going to think you're doing something wrong. Why do we want him to think you're doing something wrong? It's not good for him to think you're doing bad things.
Okay.
He's going to think you're a bad person. Or a bad Jew. Okay. So, in order to understand the Minchat Asher, we first have to do a tshuva of Igros Moshe. But Igros Moshe actually has two very fascinating tshuvos on restaurants. On Mar'ayim. One on restaurants and one on Mar'ayim in general. The first one, source 10, says, "V'davarim mutter lechol b'restaurants. Shemechinim sham rak machalei chalav." Oh, it's only dairy there. There's no milk and meat. So now we avoid basar b'chalav. "Avalhem shel anashim machalei shabbos." And the people who are, own it are Jews, but they're not frugal. Nonetheless, there could be all sorts of isur. There are non-kosher fish. If you don't keep kosher, if you're not from, you don't know the rules. So even though you think you're a dairy restaurant, you may be using a non-kosher oil, which comes from an animal. And all sorts of treif cheeses. And there are certain foods that are asrishom bishal akum. Just a quick explanation. Bishal akum, you are not allowed to eat food cooked by a non-Jew if it is not edible raw and wouldn't be worthy to be served at a royal meal. What does that mean? As in, if a non-Jew cooks you a carrot, could you eat a carrot raw?
Yes.
So you're still allowed to eat it. It's not part of the isser of bishul akum. And if he makes you a really simple, basic food, that not the kind that you would
serve, porridge
or something, it also wouldn't be part of the isser bishul akum. Okay? Not our topic for right now, but al regalacha, because Rav Moshe mentioned it. So he says, so don't think that there's no Isserim there. But you were asking specifically about Marisayim, so let me explain about Marisayim. V'lachein af yikanes l'sham. L'chol dvarim ha'yiduim she'ibayim shum pashas Isser. So I'm going to go in there and I'm not going to eat anything that has any question. I'm going to eat only the most kosher things. I'm going to go in there and drink a Coca-Cola. Dvarim ha'yiduim mutar. Things everybody knows are mutar. So then, Yesh la'asor mipnei marit ayin b'chashad. You can't do that because of marisayim. But, says R' Moshe, and listen to this kula, which I don't really recommend, but I can't really argue with R' Moshe, but listen to what he says. Ach im hu ra'av yoter. You're pashat starving. Shemit star etuva. You're so uncomfortable. And there's nowhere else for you to eat. Okay, so we're really limiting the situation.
Oh, yeah, non-kosher restaurant.
Hmm?
At the moment, are you in a non-kosher restaurant? Or
yeah, non-kosher restaurant.
Just like multiple places, it's just one of the two.
This one happens to be a dairy restaurant.
Okay.
A vegetarian dairy restaurant. So he says, you're really hungry, and there's nowhere else to eat. Yafal ikanes l'sham l'chol dvar miyudar. Then you can go in and eat things that you know are mutter. About tzarek she'ebet sina, makom tzarok seda lo gazer rabam. Though Chazal are gozer, marizayin, they weren't gozer in the case of pain and loss. So you can go in and you have to take the booth all the way in the back. V'hainu shelo yumi b'chutz makirav. And still you have to make sure nobody knows you. Because anybody inside sees you're only taking mutter things. But you have to make sure nobody outside sees you in there. But if you do see people outside that you know, you have to go tell them, hey, I'm really starving. But I'm only went in to get a fruit, to get a Coca-Cola. We kacht over, you do the mutter. But without this extreme pain, you can't go in there. So he has four rules, but it still seems strange. Why does it seem strange? Because it sounds like he feels you can take control of a Maris Ayin situation. Meaning, I can pay attention to who sees me and make sure they know that I'm really doing something okay. Which seems to go against this whole idea of Maris Ayin. And we said, Marzayin, Asr Khadri Khadar, so Moshe says, okay, when we said it's Asr, people Khadri Khadar, even if nobody sees you, that was Nabimakum Tsar, where you're in pain. But he says, if you're in pain, and there's nowhere else, in Makom Akhir Lilik, that's his second time, then you go all the way in the back, and you make sure nobody sees you, then Moshe allows you to go into this non kosher restaurant to eat something kosher. Yes? Where you can get kosher food and non-kosher food.
Like if you're just going to sit there.
Yeah.
You don't have any food. There's no kosher food. Or if you bring your own kosher food.
Yeah. So that's our discussion.
Okay,
we're going to get there. We're going to discuss different kinds of restaurants. Yeah.
How does it work as far as them recognizing, like if you're in a kippah or something, they know that you're Jewish? Is that?
So that would be a problem. So he's saying, if nobody knows you and knows you're Jewish, then maybe the question about your kippah is a good question. I don't know what his Matzias was, maybe wearing a cap. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. But Ramosha also has another tshuva about Marisayim. And this tshuva should blow your mind. Because a person wrote to Ramosha and says, I saw you doing something wrong. And Ramosha, when they published Ibris Moshe, the first few volumes were published in his lifetime, he would often include who he wrote to, but whenever it was something embarrassing or private, he left out who it was. Here, the person's name appears. B'divar nesia la'anashim b'kar, achar halakat ne'erot v'ir midrash, samachar shneim itinut in l'choli yoter, em yesh eza hashash iser. This guy said, you lit candles Friday night, and then you drove to shul. Now, what do we know? That you're allowed to. What do we have after candle lighting? We still have a few minutes, correct? That's Shkia. But when do we light candles?
Before
we light candles 18 minutes before. So we have those 18 minutes early. Especially if you, you know, don't light exactly, you light 19 minutes. So you certainly have another minute or two. So Malat Kvod Yedidi Yirei Shemayim Rav Moshe Metzger. So Rav Moshe writes in, Ne'eti Ma'or, I really enjoyed your letter. Sher Malat Kvodon Nizdareiz L'chayim Mitzvot Tochcha. You're so quick to perform the mitzvah midoraita of Hocheach Tocheach Ravitecha, to criticize and critique your friend who's doing something wrong. I would never get mad about somebody doing that mitzvah. And because of your letter, I agree. I will stop going in the car. The poor guy was probably like 90 years old and needed to drive. I go, okay, he's going to walk and he's going to be Torah. But he says, then it's not even Maradayim. And why not? Ki yada yedidi asher iser maradayim hu rak bedavar shenase zeh berov ha-pamim ba-ofen ha-asr. When it's done, most of the time, in an usher way. V'hu oseh zeh ba-ofen ha-mutter, asr b'nei maradayim. If you do something that most of the time is usher, even though you're doing it in an okay way, but because the most of the time is usher. In other words, you're going to go into the kosher restaurant and eat kosher, but most of the people into the non-kosher restaurant and eat kosher, but most of the people going into this non-kosher restaurant are eating non-kosher. Kegon, one of the Chazal's examples, lasota yidei aklum bekablanut malacha kazo sharbei oslim mistira yom shuofen aser. What's the example? We have a rule that you're not allowed to have a non-Jew do work for you on Shabbos. But we also have another rule that you can tell a non-Jew, I need you to build my house. You have, or build this shed. Okay, so I'm going to take short for our example. So how long does it take to build a shed? I don't know, 3-4 days. So I say, today is Tuesday. By next Tuesday, I want the shed up. So what can this guy do? He can build it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if he wants. He's not Jewish. So he could do it Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. He could do it Wednesday, Shabbos, Monday, meaning any 3 days of the 7 that he wants, he could do it. So that's called the Kablanut. He's accepting upon him as a project, and he's opting to work on Shabbos. He is not working on Shabbos for me. If I went up to the guy and said, for every day you build the shed, I'll pay you, and then he did it on Shabbos, that's a problem. Okay, then he's what's called a Sakhir Yom. Every day you do work for me, I pay you. Then I'm paying him to do work for me on Shabbos. But if I give him just a project, the Kablanut, he's the contractor, and he gets the whole project, and when he does it, it's his own prerogative, he's allowed to do it on Shabbos. Those are the rules. But we also have another rule when it comes to Marizayim. If the work is being done on my property or in my house, as opposed to something that he can take and go do wherever, we don't let you do it because of Marizayim. Because people don't know that he's doing it the Kablanut, that he accepted the contract, they're going to think that you're paying him by the hour or by the day. So that, Barov Apamim, it's Asr, and you happen to have done it in a way that it's Mutter. Therefore, Lachain Asru Gamma Kablanut Bishum Maradayim. But says Ramoshe, Aval Lasot Devar Hetem Reforsam, something that everybody knows is allowed. Bishvil Ezan Hashim Shidu Lasho, because there's one guy who's going to think it's wrong. Lo aser. And says Ramoshe, Ubda zo shiadua lakol, shenashim kablon shabbat v'lakat nirov, anashim kablim shabbat v'tosev katan. When do men accept Shabbos? When they sing mizmor shir in shul. Women accept Shabbos with candle lighting. So we really have a few more minutes. It's something everybody knows. They should sound a lot like the rush. Something so common. Something everybody knows. There's no hisser.
So he's saying that Israel knows that you have that 18 minutes to go.
Yeah, and therefore it's not even Marizayim, and I could do it. He says, but you asked, you mentioned, Hocheach, Tochiach, thank you so much, I'm going to stop riding in the car.
How can you make such an assumption? I'm saying, because we speak about like the average non-secular person in society today. Probably
the average non-secular person in society doesn't even know there's a problem driving on Shabbos. The issue we're talking about is the person who knows you can't drive on Shabbos and is going to see Ramosha Feinstein driving on Shabbos is going to assume he can drive on Shabbos. Okay? Or is going to assume Ramosha Feinstein is doing something wrong. I know you can't drive on Shabbos. Ramosha Feinstein is driving on Shabbos. That's it. Okay? That we don't want. So that's Ramosha's tshuva. Now we can get, when we read Ramosha's tshuvas about it, now we can understand Minchas Asher, which is how we started. He was asked a question by the people in Johannesburg, and this was his answer. Other side of the page, source 12. Meshur Igros Moshe, he dealt with this question. Below Havandi Dvarav Klal, I don't understand Ramosha what he wrote. That if you're really hungry and you're really in pain and there's nowhere else you could go in and do it, that doesn't make sense. What, you can take control of a Mara Zayin situation? What was the Gemara that Ramosha quoted? He says, see that they didn't make the Gzerah. And when he says they didn't make the Gzerah, that Gemara is saying that you could do something, some kind of malacha, in another way. For example, we don't milk animals on Shabbos in general. Okay, then how we milk animals on Shabbos for their pain or whatever, chinoy or nanju or to waste, etc. There's a whole sugya there. So in general, we don't milk a cow on Shabbos. But let's say somebody is sick and they're really, you know, pain in their gums. And what did the doctor say? He needs fresh milk from an animal. So we'll allow you to. So how can he do it? He'll go nurse directly from the animal, or some kind of weird chinoy, because humans don't generally nurse directly from animals. But in other words, kalachar yad, there's a chinoy being done. So Russia says, all it says there is when there's tsar, we'll do it as chinoy. But nowhere there does it say that there were mater marid ayin when there's tsar. Mishum calls that tsarach li'iyon b'divrei Igros Moshe. So I don't understand this Igros Moshe. I don't understand how he was mater that way. But, says Rav Asher, we're on the fifth line, or fourth line, I am lenient for two reasons. One, is Mara's ayin a general rule? Is Mara's ayin just we apply it whenever? Or is there specific? Or are there specific cases when Chazal said you have to be careful about Maris Ayin? Okay, that sounds just like the Pri Chadash. Ukvar neklechu bazeh gedoli acharonim. Dinei katav Magen Avram. Who disagreed with the Pri Chadash? Magen Avram. Umishum maser is a asur mishum Maris Ayin. Meaning he cites Magen Avram offering all sorts of cases that are Maris Ayin that weren't mentioned by Chazal. So we have the pre-chadash who's calling on him. It says we don't come up with new cases, and the pre-tovar tells us. So then, when we have the new cases that the pre-chadash, the Magen Avraham have the machloket, we're machmir. We pass them like the Magen Avraham. But why are we machmir? Not me'ikar adin, not because that's the rule, but because it's appropriate to be machmir in that machloket. So says Rav Asher, that's my first reason to be lenient. It's not enough, because it's a machloket achronim, and we don't paskin really like that pri chadash, but throw that in with what I'm about to tell you. What's the second reason? Says Rav Asher, let me find my place again, sorry. Anything that is usher because of marid ayin depends on the circumstances. We know, we saw the Rush said that marid ayin in the times of Chazal, you couldn't wear this silk garment because it looked like wool or linen. That doesn't apply now because we all have such garments. Yesh Tavarsh and Mesh Hayabu Mardayin, that yesterday or previously in the past was Mardayin, Ulachar Shidashu Bo Rabim Shuvim Bo Mardayin. Since it's so common now, there is no marit ayin. So we have explicitly cases where, he cites the Rush, cases where something that Chazal said is also called a marit ayin doesn't apply anymore. And kal vachomer, if that's true about something that Chazal said was asur b'zamarat ayin, kal vachomer about something that Chazal don't even mention. Meaning going back to the pre-chadash, right? It doesn't apply to new things. So if it even applies to old things, this heter, it certainly applies to new things. And he has proofs. He offers a few proofs. One, is anybody here generally clean shaven? Yes. Why is that okay? What kind of iser is it to shave with a razor? It's an iser d'oraita. You can't shave with a razor. And yet, it's okay for you to be clean shaven because there are permissible ways of shaving. We allow you to do it with scissors or an electric shaver. So, why is that okay? Aren't I going to look at you and think, hey, that guy's clean shaven. He must have shaved with a razor? Sir Rasha says, no, that's absurd. Everybody knows all about electric shavers. Everybody knows all about the permissible ways to shave. So why would they be choshing you in the other way? This next example, wigs. Women wear, a lot of frum women wear a wig. Married women have to cover their hair. This woman is wearing a wig. Does it look like she's covering her hair? And a lot of people who tell me they can tell. I'm not one of those people. But certainly a lot of women think they can tell. Some men also. They can look at this person and say, oh, that's a wig. Oh, that's hair. Certain times it's very obvious, I know. But a lot of times I don't know. I asked my wife, well, let's set up that woman. She's like, no, that woman's married. How did you know she's wearing a wig? How did you know she's wearing a wig? I can tell. Okay? So, I'm not on that madriga, I can't tell. So why is that not a problem? I'm going to be choshed that these married women aren't covering their hair. What's the answer? We all know about wigs. The concept of a wig, meaning if I knew this woman was married and I saw her and I know she's from, I'm going to assume that the reason why it looks like her hair is not covered is because of the wig. I'm not going to assume that she is a frum woman who doesn't cover her hair. So that, says Rav Asher, is the proof. Now let's come back to our case about the restaurant. We're on the third or fourth to last line, because there's a half line at the end, so I said third or fourth. Benira came gam b'didon didon, the restaurant. The me'achar u'misada zom yu'edet bi'ikar l'odim. We're talking about the cafeteria first. So the cafeteria, this is that the company owns it, and there's nowhere else to eat. Why would they assume that Jews are going in to eat treif? They're going to assume Jews are going in to eat kosher. The idea of Jews going into non-kosher restaurants and still doing what's okay, everybody knows about. We all know about business meetings. We all know about people who need the bathroom. And we all know about people who need a Coca-Cola. There's no secret. So is this guy going to not choose to do it in a mutter fashion? He's going to choose to do it in the Asrans fashion? He showed us a king, so too, when you go to a business meeting. Since so many people do this, this is the standard. Shuv einbo iser marit ayin. There is no iser marit ayin. So Rav Asher Weiss told the community of Johannesburg, the rabbis who asked him in this meeting, that that is his view. Two or three more points I want to make. One, about different kinds of restaurants. I think this heter is for the treifer a restaurant is. As in, if a restaurant is so treif, this is when the heter applies. What do I mean? There are restaurants in the world that have a bad hashgacha. Or they have no hashgacha, but people think they're probably okay. Cause it's kosher style. Cause it's vegan or raw or all sorts of reasons they think it's okay. And the restaurant doesn't have a good hashgacha. I think you cannot go into those restaurants.
Because it's too close for comfort.
Too close for comfort. Meaning? McDonald's is really great. Say McDonald's is really great. So you go into it in Kotzlaritz. You go into the McDonald's in Kotzlaritz. So everybody knows you're in there because you need the bathroom and you needed to buy a Coke. But you go into the restaurant that might be okay, but it's not really. And people, some people from your community who are on the less from side, eat there. And they see you in there, they're going to think, oh, this place is fine. And they're going to eat there. That's a problem. But a place that's chazer treif, basar b'chalav, and there's no question that it's usher, that's where this applies. Where you could go in, and it's not a problem that anybody's going to think that it's haroa omer mutter is not going to apply with something that everybody knows about. Something that not everybody knows about, that's when it applies. And therefore, you can't do that. I was telling Rav Gigi this week that this was the topic of my shir, and he told me an interesting story. He said he was once walking in Tel Aviv, and he said it was a really hot day, and he was, like, not dying literally of thirst, but really, really thirsty. So he walked into a restaurant, and went in, he said, I don't know, Coke or juice or whatever bottle he bought, and he felt everybody in the restaurant staring at him. Okay, made him feel uneasy. He didn't check that all he was going in was for a Coke. He walks out of the restaurant and he sees a big sign that says Chazir. Like, this is one of those, like, Tel Aviv, we're purposefully Bedavka Treif restaurants. And he's like, and that was the one I went into. He says, if I noticed before, I wouldn't have gotten in there. Meaning, there's certain places it's inappropriate for you to be. Where they're so, like, that, he said that doesn't apply in Chutzlar, there's no restaurants that are, you know, Bedavka Treif there, they're just Treif. But he says, here, that applies. That being said, he said, some of the boys here have a lot of friends who have no Jewish background. Some people from the community have no, they don't even know what kosher is. So, he said, you have to be careful that you're not going into one of those restaurants and these people are going to just follow you. Meaning, it's not Roe Omer Mutter. Oh, it must be okay to eat in this restaurant. They didn't know that there was an issue with not eating in certain restaurants. But if that's the restaurant you're going in, and you know you're only going in and ordering a Coke and it's fine, but they're going to go in and not just order a Coke. Not because you taught them it's okay, but they're nimshach acharecha was his words. Like, they're just gonna.
But either way, they would have done that. I'm saying, you know,
they would have done that anyway. So you don't. I said that to him. So he says, it's not a lifnei iver here. He says, there's no, like, they're gonna just eat another. He says, yeah, but you don't want anybody going anywhere because of you. He says, also, he's a little more stringent. Like I said, that there were restaurants that are fully treif, and that's when it applies, and restaurants that are almost kosher, and that I'm not matir. So he said, you also have to be careful. Sometimes there's a restaurant that basically sells one product. Meaning, he's like, this is a restaurant that's only, you know, like a shack, a kiosk somewhere. They only sell steaks, or steak sandwiches, or falafel. Let's say you have a falafel stand. So the falafel stand's not kosher. But you just want a Coke. So you just go get it, you know, they sell drinks and falafel. So he says, you're just going for the drink. But people see you and think the falafel is kosher. He says, that's the issue. Meaning, when you go into a supermarket, there are 1,000 products. You're choosing the kosher ones and not choosing the non-kosher ones. So when there's a restaurant that sells dozens and dozens of products, and you happen to be choosing the kosher fruit or the drinks or whatever it is, so then, fine. But here, he's saying that now they're going to think, because there's only one product here at this stand, it's more problematic. Those are the points that Gigi made about it, but let me just sum up. I see Evan's here. We had two main reasons for Isser Mar Hayin. People see you doing something, they're going to think it's okay. Or they know it's not okay, and therefore they're going to think you're doing something wrong. We have three potential reasons to be lenient. One, the Pri Chodesh says we don't come up with new examples of Maris Ayin, only what Chazal told us. Like I said, that's a Das Yachid, Magen Avraham, and the majority of the others don't agree, but we used it, Rav Asher Weiss used it as an extra reason to be lenient. Two, the Ramah says Maris Ayin doesn't apply when we're talking about an Isser Derabbanan. And number three, we have the Rush who says, Chazal said this is Asser Chazal Maris Ayin, but that didn't exist back then. Now everybody knows about it, it's not a problem. Is that everybody knowing about it makes it not a problem? I really think that's the one that really helps when you need to go into the non-kosher restaurant, when you're traveling in the middle of nowhere, when you are when you have to go into a business meeting, when you're need a Coke or a coffee to keep you up while you're driving, etc. So those are the certain. Everybody knows when you see a frum Jew go into a fully treif restaurant, he is not dressed as a frum Jew. He is not going in to eat treif. He's going in to get one of the two permissible things you could possibly get in there. And I think that's the answer. Questions?
Did you get to using the bathroom?
Using the bathroom. You go and use the bathroom.
Okay. Is that what the title is?
Yeah. Meaning, can you go into the restaurant and use the bathroom? So when I see you going into the fully treif restaurant, I'm saying, you probably have to use the bathroom. Probably getting a drink. I mean, either of those are fine. I see the guy in the business meeting with his briefcase and his suit, and he's going in. Okay, the poor guy has to meet with the guy over while the guy's eating treif. That's what I assume. I mean, people know that. It's a known phenomenon. That's what Rav Asher Weiss is saying. Rav Asher Weiss is saying, everybody knows about business meetings. Everybody knows about people needing the bathroom. Okay, the cat's out of the bag. Yes?
Do you expect Rav Asher Weiss's first thing that he relies on?
The first one is the pre-chazosh. Meaning he says, okay, the Magen Avraham disagrees, the Brit Chodesh is a minority. He says, but he found in something called the Pre-Toar that says, okay, we don't ask like the Brit Chodesh, but that's not an Iker Adin. I mean, Iker Adin, maybe the Brit Chodesh is right, but we're Machmir on it. Okay, yes?
Is it a general rule for a coffee shop that more or less any coffee is...
Yeah, so where I grew up in America, the Kashrus organization said you could go into Starbucks and get a plain coffee. Meaning, when I say plain, I don't mean without milk or without sugar. I mean without flavors. Even though next to me in the Starbucks is a guy eating a ham sandwich, and they sell it in Starbucks. That was the standard. What are they saying? They're saying everybody knows that when a Jew goes into Starbucks, he's ordering the few items you get that are kosher. So then, Rapini, I once had a discussion with him a few months ago. The boy was asking, he said, I'm in Kippon Tzitzis, can I go into this cafe in, he was in, I don't know, Melbourne or somewhere, and so Penny was saying, oh, people don't do that there. I said, okay, if it's true that in your community people don't do that, so then you can't say it's Matsui, it's Dajbo Rabin. In my community, even from people do that. They'll go in, and everybody else, the non-Jew they're with, is ordering treif, but they'll get a water, they'll get a, fruit that's not a Coke, something that they can get. That being said, if you are going to eat, and we said business meetings, and sometimes they're ordering kosher food, you have to realize that the food has to be double wrapped, and it should have a seal, and you have to make sure that there's all those issues. Those are side issues here. The focus today was just about going into the restaurant, and I will try not to steal any more of this time. Sure.